Let it go. Last week we started this, and I knew I wouldn't finish it all in 1 week. And as I was kind of refreshing myself this week, I don't know if we'll finish it this week. We'll see what happens. But it's imperative for us, we you know, start off this new year, and just in retrospect of pressing forward. And sometimes there are so many things that weigh us down, that keep us from achieving that all that God wants us to do. It's funny, I don't know if you guys seen on the news, like Tennessee and all these guys in the southern part have gotten a bunch of snow. And it is hilarious to watch these southerners deal with snow. And you know, it's funny because I think it was Tennessee. I saw a video of this family going out and with their kids, and their kids had never made a snowman. And so they went out there and rolled, and they didn't have that much snow. I mean, they had, you know, maybe not even an inch. And so, I don't know if you ever built a snowman with only an inch where it's never been snow before, nothing's all frozen. It ends up being more of a dirt ball than anything else. And so they're rolling the snowball, and there's grass and sticks and other things, all leaves all in this, and they piled it up, and they, you know, and they're all proud of themselves that they built a snowman. They've never done that before, and looking at it, and I the poor thing looked like it had leprosy. I mean, it was just like, it was a sad looking snowman, but they were so proud. But it just got me thinking in our lives, as we roll in this life, we accumulate all this junk along the way. Right? And it sticks and it clings and it interferes. And we got to go through and sometimes purge from all those things that holds us back. So in here, I wanted to use as sort of a spring off verses, Philippians chapter 3. It says, "Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind, and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press for the goal, for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." To achieve all that God wants you to do in your life. To press forward in all these things. We got to be willing to let go of some things in our past that we've been carrying around. And what I found is over the years, so many of us are carrying around baggage for years and years. It was funny, I was visiting the hospital of a gentleman years ago who ended up, he had a heart attack and went to the hospital and found a whole bunch of blockages. And so they went in there and, you know, rotor-rooted them and put stents in there and did all that. And afterwards, I visited him. I said, "How you doing?" He goes, "It's just weird." I said, "What's weird?" He goes, "As far back as I can remember, I was feeling this pressure on my chest. And it got to a point where I just thought that was just normal." Right? It had been around so long that he didn't even notice it anymore. And he goes, "Now, for the first time, as far back as he can remember, that is gone." And he goes, "It's the weirdest feeling of not having that." And I think in our lives, the things that accumulate in us are like that. That we just kind of get used to it. We think that this is it. This is the normal. This is how it's going to be, or it's always going to be this way. And I don't think we realize what happens when we're released from those things. Of the freedom we can have to move forward. So last week we talked about the idea of forgiveness, and that ended up being all week. So I'm just going to touch point on this just a little bit. But Matthew 18, Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And it's up to seven?" And Jesus said, I say to you, up to seven times, but seven times seven, 70 times seven, right? We are supposed to be always forgiving. And sometimes, you know, someone I was talking with and they're like, you know, there's these situations and sometimes it doesn't change. Right? Maybe you got family members that they're not going to change. So how do you forgive someone that's that way? And sometimes it is that continual, "Lord, they're yours." Right? Sometimes they're yours. And "Lord, you got to take care of it." And I have to remind myself of that often. right? But to move on from that, it's imperative we talk the idea of forgiveness. I just wanted to bring these up as well, right? When you forgive someone, it doesn't justify what they did. Because sometimes I think we look at this idea of, oh, you know, as a kid, you know, you do something, forgive me, and then you're like, oh, I'm free of the consequences, right? It's kind of a get out of jail free card. It's kind of this carte blanche. Oh, well, you got to forgive. When you forgive someone, it does not justify what they did to you, right? Or if you need forgiveness, what you're not asking that person to do is to say what you did to them was okay. Second thing, it doesn't absolve it. It doesn't make it all go away. Right? There are people who carry marks and scars emotionally and physically throughout their life. And the idea of forgiveness doesn't automatically make that all go away. But what you do is you give up the anger, you give up the right to vengeance, and you turn it over to God. But now it's not your weight anymore. Right? So it doesn't make it okay. And sometimes it doesn't fix it. Sometimes there are consequences for sin that are ongoing. But you have to let that go. Forgiveness isn't an emotion. Right? You don't forgive because you feel like it. You forgive because God tells you to. It's better for you. We talk about the idea of that root of bitterness that sinks in your life. Right? And I think as you do that, as you continue to remind yourself of that, the heart will follow. I think one of the big tragedies of sort of modern society is we're told to follow our heart. We had Vacation Bible School a couple years ago, and there's a little boy that was coming, and he had real anger issues. And he was just like, I just feel like I'm going to punch someone. And I looked at him, I said, so? And he looked at me like, you know, I was speaking a foreign language. I said, but don't. He goes, yeah, but I feel like it. My brain's telling me to. I'm like, well, you tell your brain. No. Right? And we live in a society that we're told that our feelings are above everything else. And that God didn't design us to function that way. I think we deal with so much depression and angst. And a lot of sort of the emotional things that are kind of going on today. Not saying that some of those things aren't real, and sometimes there's medical reasons for it. I'm not saying that at all. But it's interesting in our society, we have such overabundance of these problems. And I think a lot of them is because we've moved around and said, I'm being geared by my heart. I'm being led by my heart and not by the Spirit of God. Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, Nancy, I got it right that time. We're done. In Sunday school, I couldn't get the verse out right. But the heart lies to us. It deceives us to get what it wants. I mean, you need to listen to the Spirit of God. And then also, forgiveness isn't always two-sided. Right? I can ask forgiveness. It doesn't mean that person will forgive me. And if I've done everything I can at that point, the problem is their problem and not mine. I've done everything I could, and now I need to move on. Or someone needs to ask forgiveness of you, and they will never do it. And sometimes we need to forgive them even without them asking. And at that point, it's like, okay, Lord, I've done all I can. Now it's up to them. So that's forgiveness. Second thing we want to look at, we talk about the idea of leaving things behind, is the idea of our shame and our guilt. Our shame and our guilt. Now you look at me this morning and you think, hey, Pastor John, you must have been a wonderful kid, had a perfect life, always obedient to your parents, never did anything foolish, right? I just kind of look like one of those guys. Must be the hairspray because I'm wicked and I'm evil. I've done a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I won't tell you. Right? I am so glad that I was born in the generation that I was, because we didn't have cameras and phones to record everything. Right? My stupidity is kind of lost into the memory of history. And my heart breaks for these young people who come up and document everything, and it never goes away. I remember when, you know, the internet was just starting to catch on, and my oldest daughter started to play around online, and we told her, you know, be careful what you put on there. You know, be careful, because whatever you do, it's out there forever. Right? I mean, if you're on social media, you know, right? There are things that, like, why did they put that on there? Right? Because now your employers go in there and pull it up, and they're like, you did what? You said what? You, right? It's like all this, it's all out there. The Bible tells us that we come to Christ, that His forgiveness is sufficient, that all our sins are forgiven. And Paul tells the Corinthians, is therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You become a new person. All the things you have done, that was the old me. That was in the past. And now, I don't have to be that anymore. But what about all those things I've done before I came to Christ? Or even as Christians, can I tell you something? Christians can do really stupid things. And yet there's forgiveness for it. And we carry that weight so often that we can't move on. I was at camp years ago. And there's this girl who came and was working on the staff, and she was about 17, 18 years old. And she came to me and she goes, Pastor, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. I said, what? And she goes, how long does it take to be forgiven? I said, what do you mean? She goes, how long does it take to be forgiven? I asked her why she asked that, and she said, at her church, she was, I think she's 15 and a half, not quite 16, and she got pregnant. And she told her parents, and they kind of freaked out. And the church was aware of this, and the pastor brought her up before the congregation and rebuked her before everyone, made her confess that she had sex out of wedlock, she was pregnant. They pulled her from the nursery. They pulled her from any service. They said, you can't do anything. And she complied. She goes, she was sorry. Fast forward a few months, she had miscarriage. She lost the child. And here she is now, what, 3 years after the fact. And she said, my church still looks at me like I've been branded. I still can't serve in any capacity in the church. The ladies all whisper behind my back. They won't talk to me. They ostracize me. And she goes, how long does it take to be forgiven? In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, why are you still going to this church? She goes, this is where my, you know, her family goes and all her friends, this is everyone. How long does it take for it to be forgiven? And I told her, I said, as soon as you ask forgiveness, Christ forgave you. Now, as far as church discipline goes, I don't agree with how the pastor did it all. I can say maybe there's some wisdom of taking some time off, right? Take a step back. Sometimes there are consequences for what we do. But it shouldn't be more than we can handle. It shouldn't be more to weigh us down. It's interesting, in the Corinth church, there was a sin. There's a gentleman who was caught in a sin, and in here he repented of that sin. Notice what Paul told him. This is a repented brother, a repented sister, someone who's like, I messed up, right? And now I want to move forward. How do I do that? Paul told the Corinthians this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But if anyone is caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, right? Paul's like, look, sin happened within you. it's affected the whole body. We need to realize that sin affects everyone around you. But not to be what? Too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. See, here's the thing. If someone has repented of their sin, and there may be consequences, right? It said there was consequences. But don't make it too hard, and don't make it too long, because in here, what? The person will be swallowed up. Here's the thing with shame, right? Here's the thing of guilt. When someone comes clean on all these things, right? They're open about these things. That in here, that guilt and shame wears them down. And they have to live with that. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning. But how many of you have done things that you're ashamed of? I know I have. I'm not asking for a show of hands. The things you don't want anyone to know. And even though everyone else has moved on, do you wrestle with that weight? Do you still wrestle with that shame? I want to tell you this morning that it is forgiven. And as a body of Christ, we should not be that extra weight on top of all that to break that. This poor girl was repentant. She was sorry. She realized the error of her ways. But you can't undo the clock, right? She paid a price for that. And at that point, the church should do what? Notice what it says. Therefore, I urge you to what? Reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote that you might put you to the test. Whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that the one for your sake, in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Right? If the church is not forgiving, we are pushing them away into this world. I mean, I grew up in pretty hardcore, sort of judgmental churches where they were strong on the word, but there was very little grace. And as long as you walked in line, you were fine. But man, if you stumbled and if you fell, they crushed you and added guilt and shame to that. And in here, that person became swallowed up in so much sorrow, they left the church. And folks, that's the most dangerous place we could be. That in here, the church should be a place of what? Healing and restoration. It should be a place where people know you mess up and love you anyways. Amen? It's interesting when the Pharisees were accusing the woman who was caught in adultery, ye who have no sin, cast the first stone. And that passage is fascinating because it talks about from the oldest to the youngest, they started dropping their stones and walk away. It was the older ones who were like, oh man, you know the stuff I have done? Right? Who am I to throw stones? Now this is not a carte blanche, right? We are still as a church to call sin, sin. We don't compromise on that. And sometimes there are consequences. And sometimes there are punishments. There are things that happen because of sin. But once that is done, once we move on from that, healing and restoration has to take place. And my heart breaks because what happens, and I've seen it time and time again, is that people will leave the very church they need healing from. And now they're alone. Right? I'm struggling in my marriage, but I can't tell anyone because what happens? You're going to judge me. Therefore, I withdraw. And what? That throws me deeper into the hole. Christ paid for all of that. Listen. Here's sort of the checklist, if you will. If you have things that you have done, said, went, that you have left behind, first of all, have you confessed it? Right? If you're dealing with someone and I've done no wrong and all that, okay, right? The first step is to confess it. We see this time again. Confess your faults one to another, the Bible says, so that you may be healed. Be honest and open, right? I messed up. I shouldn't have done this. Confess it. If you have offered restitution for what you've done, right? Sometimes that doesn't apply. But we see this throughout Scripture. We talk about the idea of restitution and forgiveness, right? If I stole something, I broke something, I need to sometimes restitute, right? I need to make it right. Have we done everything in our possible, right? Confess that I did wrong. In here, offer a restitution. And maybe that restitution is a change. In here, you have to prove that you've changed, right? So I don't go where I used to go anymore. I don't hang out who I used to hang out with. Maybe some of those things to show that I've changed. What have I done to show that I'm different now, right? The Bible says I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new, right? Am I living that? Or am I still doing all the things I used to do? And the last thing, have I accepted the consequences for my sin? Because there are consequences sometimes. Right? I mean, if I get caught stealing money out of the offering plate, there's consequences for that. One of those would be, I could be looking at jail time. Two, I'm going to be way over here. I'm not going to touch the offering plate. Just going to, right? Or probably what would happen is I would lose my job. And if I'm repentant of that, I have to accept the consequences for my sin. I kind of cringe because sometimes we're like, I see this especially now, some pastors who have affairs or do some other thing, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, and then next thing you know, they're still in the pastorate or go down the road and start a new church. Whoa. Sometimes there are consequences of those. But if you've done all of these things, I encourage you to leave that behind. That was the old John. Right? I'm a new creature. I'm forgiven. And now help me press on. I can't carry this weight anymore. I can't carry this guilt anymore. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He's washed it white as snow. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. In your Bible, there's a little tiny book called Philemon. It's only one chapter. If you look at this and says and say Philemon 10, that's not chapter 10. It's a teeny little book. It's one of those books that doesn't have a lot of theological weight to it. And I remember being younger as a young person wondering, why is this even in here? It's a short little letter. And Paul is writing to Philemon, who was a slave owner, or he was a master. And he had a servant called Onesimus, who ran away. He was a runaway slave. And Onesimus ran into Paul. What's even better is he ran into the God of Paul. And Onesimus turned his life over to Christ and got saved. Now what do? So Paul writes this letter. And what Paul does is send Onesimus back to Philemon. He says, go back. Make things right. Part of me would say, hey, you know what? You're a free slave. Run away, right? Turn it in the past. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul says, go back and make it right. And verse 10 says, and I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while I was in chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Right? I ask you, to take him back, to forgive him, and now accept him not as a servant, but as a brother in Christ. Welcome him back. Now, the slavery there is slightly different than we think of today. But Paul stands up and says, look, he's profitable now. See, I think sometimes when we carry around the guilt, we carry around the shame, we carry all these things. And there's things that we've done in our past. There's things we've messed up. There are train wrecks in our lives. And sometimes I think that weighs on us, because who am I, Lord, that you could use me? I think sometimes when we carry that guilt and shame, we're like, God, how could you even love me? And that messes with our heads and our thoughts. It's so easy to look around and say, you know, if you really knew me, if you knew all that I had done, if you knew all that has happened to me, if you really knew all these things, would you still love me? So we put the walls up and we pretend. We smile. And the weight of the shame and the guilt just crush. Let it go. Because look what Christ says here, right? He's speaking through Paul, and he says what? He is now profitable to me. You are now profitable. You are useful. You have purpose. You are the child of God. And oh, how it must break God's heart when we are forgiven. We've done all the restitute, and we still carry around the burden. As a church, we need to forgive and encourage. It just breaks my heart that so many times when people are caught under the weight and the load, they abandon the church that should surround them and love them. You know, I would hope that if I had a struggle, the church would come around and love me through it. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. Right? Not that we turn a blind eye and say everything's all right, and right? But if there's confession, if there's restitution, right? We have all these things take place, and then we can turn the page, and there's a future ahead. There's a hope ahead. And before any of us get all hoity-toity, that's a Greek, fancy Greek word, right? Before you get all puffed up and say, oh, I'm not like that. Paul tells Romans, so who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. And who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, he is also risen. That in here we have the Father who makes intercession for us. See, the guilt and shame we carry, Satan loves to accuse us. He likes to throw it in our face. He wants to remind us all of those things you've done. If everyone knew what you did, what you thought, where you went, what you consumed, that they wouldn't love you anymore. And thanks God, in the court of heaven, Jesus says, I paid for that. My grace is sufficient for all your needs. There is not anything you had done that his power, his blood, cannot forgive. Amen? I'm going to get all Pentecostal on you. This is exciting stuff. But we need to remember, before I get all puffed up and judgy on everyone else, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators or adulterers or homosexuals or sodomites, nor thieves or covetous or drunkards or rivalers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's a list of sins. As Christians, we should not be involved in. But notice what it says here, because maybe you've done some of these things. Right? Are you doomed? Am I here to pour the guilt and shame upon you? No. Through Christ you are forgiven. And knows what it says. But you are what? Washed. You are washed. All by the blood of the Lamb. But you are what? Sanctified. You are set apart as holy. God takes the impure and through His blood makes them pure. He takes the unholy and makes them holy in His sight. But notice what it says here. And such were some of you. With the same measure I am forgiven, I need to forgive others. And not weigh on them the guilt and the shame that they carry around. Christian, leave it behind. There is hope in the Lord. There's forgiveness in the Lord. And He makes all things new. We'll pick up the third thing next week. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your forgiveness. Complete forgiveness, Lord. And there are those here this morning who are carrying around the guilt and shame, Lord. I pray that You will confess it and You will free them from it. Wash them and make them white as snow. Oh, how You love us. That Lord, You paid the price for everything we did. Lord, lead us forward. Strengthen us with Your grace. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen. Won't you please stand and sing with me? Oh, how He loves you and me.